Another great week. Let's get to the intro. What's going on, everyone? Hope you're doing well. This is another great week of What Do You Know with Joe. As always, we've got Baxter. We've got Winnie. Lindsay's home for summer vacation. It's officially July. Summer's in the air. Very excited about this week's episode. We have professional basketball player Tasha Cole, as well as Mike Cowan from Cowan Group Global, who's an agent for many, many current WNBA and professional women's basketball players. Also, we have my good friend Zach Leonard joining. It's going to be a great conversation, not only with Tasha about her career and her journey, as well as a great conversation with Mike and Zach. We talk about a lot of good current events within the sport and some new developing ones as well. So not going to waste any more time, everyone. Let's jump right into Taj's interview and stick around to hear what's going on in the sport with Mike and Zach. Thanks, everyone. Enjoy.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of What You Know with Joe. I have my guest Tasha Cole on with me, Taj, as everyone calls her, and we'll go ahead and refer to that. But Taj is a professional basketball player for the Connecticut Sun and is joining me today. Taj, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
Of course, of course. And, you know, we'll go ahead and get started. Hope you're doing well. Can't wait to learn more about the game. But actually, I do have a quick question. So I think we actually have like a mutual – our schools kind of know each other. You went to LC Bird in Richmond, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you guys played us in football my junior year and not – and pardon my language, kicked the shit out of us in the state championship. But I went to Oakton High School up in Fairfax, Virginia, outside of D.C.
Okay.
So we played you guys, I think, in like that state semi game, and we got our ass kicked. But you guys had some –
Our football team, they a problem, man. It was good.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you guys' basketball was good, too, if you guys probably had some good time for you guys. And with that, you picked up a little bit of hardware in high school. You had a little Gatorade, like, honors, if I'm not wrong, correct?
Yeah, high school was good, man. High school
That's
was
awesome.
Good.
Yeah, so tell me what a little bit was like, you know. I mean, obviously, like you said, we were talking. We had some good, you know, talent. What was it like playing on those teams? And, you know, where did you – I mean, VCU's right there, and I know they probably have a good team and whatnot. And so, what were some of the schools you were looking at outside of college or outside of high school that you were looking to go play at?
Growing up, I never wanted to play on, like, you know, the top team in the state or whatever. Like, I went to LC Bird, it was my zone high school. Like, my parents, they had their own AU team. Like, I didn't want to play for Boo Williams or Fairfax Stars. I just wanted to, I'm like a home kid, you know, I feel like I work hard enough to get offers and things by just playing for the local team. So I did that early on in my high school career, and the offers was rolling in, but everybody was saying I could get more if, you know, I joined an EYBL team or if I go to a private school or something like that. So I end up joining Boo Williams and Fairfax growing up, and that was when the offers really start rolling in. And I had you know, a lot of the top schools, the schools except for UConn that we've seen in the Sweet 16 this year. So I've had all of those. Yeah, it was a journey.
Yeah, and I know you had some transfers going on, but you first ended up with Louisville, correct?
Yeah, I committed to Louisville my junior year of high school. I loved it.
Gotcha.
I really, really wanted to go there. They had just won the national championship. I got there and my teammates were really cool. They were all like way older than me. I was like one of the youngest, but we had the number one recruiting class in the country. So that was pretty cool coming in there. But it just didn't work out for me. Like,
right.
Thank you. All right. Thank you. Hold on. Give me a second.
No worries. No worries at all.
Can you hear me?
Yep, all good. All good.
But yeah, so I just wanted a more personable head coach, point guard, you know, tight bond relationship. So I ended up going to Georgia where I got my degree. My coach, she was actually a female. It was her first year at Georgia. And we really clicked well, and I ended up getting my degree. And then I just decided to go home for my last year eligibility that I had and got my master's at Tech. So. A lot of people say, man, she transferred, you know, three times, but I got 2 degrees and, you know, it was all worth it. I wouldn't change it.
People can say whatever they want, but at the end of the day, you know what you have. And honestly, that's what you have. Those are three of the highest, you know, especially like those are Virginia Tech and, you know, Georgia, just from a academic perspective. Those are great schools and great institutions. Those degrees are, you know, a lot of, you know, you worked really hard for those. So, no, yeah, I mean, people can say what all they want, but, you know it's true and everything, and you can laugh all
that's
the
right.
way. Exactly. So what I guess actually with that, what was the furthest you guys made out of all the teams you were on? What was the furthest you made it in the tournament? Or if you guys made it to the tournament?
Yeah. So I actually made it to the tournament at all those schools, except for Tech. We didn't have the NCAA tournament that year. It was a COVID year. But we were 21-9, and we were either going to host or we're definitely going. So all those schools I've been to, I made it to the NCAA tournament. Which is actually pretty cool. So,
yeah. That's really cool. And I guess what was out of all your playing days, and I'm learning these are some of like some more fun side of things. If you can tell me, what was one of the more like crazy stories during your playing day, or like one of the more stories that like would definitely have some people scratching their heads like, damn, like that's nuts. Like, do you have any stories like that?
I wouldn't say what school it is, but I would say during preseason, we had to run the mile like every day. And for a while, like it kind of took a toll on me. And I will always say, like, you know, I hate it. Like, I hate running the mile. But that's something you'll rarely hear me say now, because, you know, over time I learned that when you say you hate something, that means you kind of let it control you. And the more we ran it every day, the more I got used to it, the more it was just like a part of something that, you know, we did. And I mean, it kind of helped me as a person, as a player. And we kind of just start knocking that thing out. But waking
that's
up
nuts.
Every day, you know, nobody out there. It's dark outside in the morning. We ran that every day. You know what I'm saying? And it kind of helped. I mean, nobody was keeping up with us. In the game, I couldn't understand, like, why did we run the mile? Like, we don't run track. You know, we're basketball players. But it was a mental game. You know, I truly thank my strength coach now, you know, for doing that.
No, I get that for sure. And I know you, before you got to the Connecticut Sun, you know, you were playing with this league called Athletes Unlimited. Can you tell me a little bit more about what that is and, you know, what it can do for players potentially, and, you know, how it potentially helped you?
Athletes Unlimited, you know, is a new league. One of the few women's basketball doesn't have a lot of leagues in the States for women to show their talents and things like that. So, Athletes Unlimited gives you opportunity to, you know, play on national television almost every night. The amount of views and amount of people that told me, you know, they seen our game on an airport, they seen it on YouTube, they seen it on CBS, Fox, is amazing. And it all happened, you know, in 1 year. So you have some WNBA players that play in AU. You have overseas players. You have retired players. So it's definitely great competition. Athletes Unlimited also has volleyball, lacrosse, softball.
Yeah.
So it's something that's definitely on the rise. But as far as opportunity and for people to, you know, get the opportunities that I did, you just got to perform. You know, got to perform. They're all about bringing in good people. You know, Athletes Unlimited, they don't just sign anybody to be a part of the league. You know, we rarely had any issues at all, just a group of great leaders that's running it, and just great leaders that's playing in the league. So I'm excited to see, you know, the future of it. I thank them a lot for giving me the opportunity to actually try it out for the league and made the team. So it worked out.
Yeah. And as I've been doing my podcast, that's one of the things I've learned is women's professional basketball is tough, and it's a grind because you guys are playing essentially 24/7 for two separate leagues, whether, like you said, it's overseas or now with this, you know, Athletes Unlimited. It's crazy, one, you know, that you guys have to do that. But, you know, with that, you know, do you see Athletes Unlimited being, you know, a way for, you know, like a big up-and-coming way for players to, you know, get into, you know, either into the league or to keep playing? Because I know – right now, if I had like a lot of players, you know, if they don't, you know, get into the league right after school, you know, maybe their first thought is overseas, and then they maybe don't know what else to do.
Yeah. Well, I just feel like Athletes Unlimited is just going to be another platform for women.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? So WNBA players, when they done the season, they go play overseas. Well, if you got AU, you can stay here in the States. You know, you can be with your family. You can do things like that. So I see I see Athletes Unlimited extending their season, making it longer so that WNBA players can do that and they can make a living here. And also seeing it, just being an opportunity for people who might didn't get that chance to get that chance. So I definitely think it's a future. I definitely think it's going to keep a lot of women over here in the States to play basketball. I think we're going to keep a lot of our women over here now, thanks to AU.
No, I definitely – I think I spoke to some players more towards the wintertime, and that was one of the things – I took for granted that I didn't realize was I was like, you guys have any plans for, you know, Christmas or anything come up? They're like, basketball here. And it's like, you know, you take that for granted a little bit.
Yep. So that's definitely a blessing to be able to be over here with your family.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, you were with the Connecticut Sun last year. And like you said, you're heading there this year. What do you, you know, is it what's something I guess maybe you're excited about this upcoming season? You know, I know you guys have a good team. I know you guys have a good, you got a good match, but what are you excited about the Sun this year?
Well, this will be my first season with the Suns. I know the head coach and the rest of the staff. You know, they came out and supported me at AU. Coming out of college when we didn't have that training camp, we didn't have NCAA tournament, I was still in contact with them then. So I'm excited to play for that staff. I think that they're really good people. But most importantly on the team, I would say, you know, just to be a point guard, a post player who's the league of – I mean, who's the MVP of the league is like, you know, that's pretty big time, you know, for somebody like me who, you know, enjoys getting people the ball. I think I'm just going to have a really, really great time with playing with somebody like Jonquel Jones and the rest of my teammates. You know, we got all-stars on our team. We have – really, really talented young people like myself on our team. So, and just great people. I think we got great vibes. So I'm really, really excited to play with really everybody and just to get out there and work hard. I've been seeing all their social media. Everybody's been in the gym.
Yeah.
And then I see their social media, you know, everybody hanging out with their family. So I love to see it.
Yeah, absolutely. And buddy, one of your teammates actually is also a fellow Oakton. Jasmine Thomas actually played at Oakton High School. And I remember watching her play. She holds all the records at Oakton, both boys and girls basketball. She was amazing to watch. And I remember Jazz went to Duke, if I'm not mistaken, right after school. And to me, like when especially growing up, you're like, whoa, like that's next level kind of stuff. And it was cool to see. So like, you know, shouts out to Jasmine Thomas. If you see her, say hello from a fellow. Yeah.
Jazz is great, really man. Cool Jazz is great. She's a vet, you know. I'm going to learn a lot from her. I'm going to make sure I talk to her, you know, on the court, off the court. I mean, 12-year vet, man.
Yeah, so no, absolutely.
Definitely been leading the way for that team.
So it sounds like you've got a great, you know, journey ahead, and I wish you the best, you know, with the WA. Is there one thing, you know, looking back as your journey to the WNBA, is there anything you would change, or is there anything you would do a little different, or you happy with where you're at and you're good to go?
I'm happy with, you know, how everything went. You know, I don't think I'm happy with where I am. You know, I wouldn't change the way my journey went. You know, it was a long road to get here.
Sure.
And you know, I just want people to realize that, you know, like you said, a lot of people, they come out of college, they don't get drafted or whatever may happen, and they just think, you know, that's it. Oh, just let me go overseas or let me just be done with basketball. But I just never gave up. You know, I figured out another way to get an opportunity, and I just made sure I was always prepared and ready for when that phone call came. And so yeah, man.
No, that's awesome. And more of like the fun conversation I like to have is, you know, is there anything outside of the game you're passionate about? You know, is there anything, you know, something you like to shed light on? I like doing this part too with the players because, you know, you guys tend to have some cool topics and like some cool things, some cool brands, some stuff I kind of want to buy. Is there anything you're really passionate about outside of the game, or anything you wish to, you know, shed some light on?
I'm passionate about business, period. You know, I got my master's in like business leadership, and I got my degree at Georgia in communication studies. So I'm all about just how to bring people together, how to create new opportunities, how to develop new things. So in the off season, that's what I'm going to be doing, whether that's with clothing, whether that's with housing. I've been talking to Virginia Tech about, you know, some things. Whether that's, you know, I want to start a hat company soon, or whether that's working with AU and figuring out how we can better it and know, things like that. So I'm all about that. You know, I actually never wanted to go overseas in the off season, WNBA season. I never wanted to go overseas. I wanted to tap in some of the things that I'm talking to you about now. So
No, that's awesome. And definitely let me know about some of that clothing stuff. I'm always down to, you know, if it's applicable to me, if I can get some of it, let me know. But
you like hats?
I do. I love hats. I can definitely rock hats.
I travel with this right here. You can't smush your hats in your bag, man. You gotta take care of your hats.
You take a little bit better care than your hats than I do. I definitely need one of those. I definitely need that. One of the big things I like knowing too, especially, and I definitely see it, and I want it for the better. I see the WNBA and you know, women's basketball as a whole growing, and I want to, you know, be a part of that and want to help grow the game as best I can. And one of the things I try to do with each episode is try to find a way to grow that even more. So if there's one thing, you know, you would want me to walk away with, what's one thing maybe I can do to help grow the game even more, or help develop the game, or help just even before that develop the college, whatever I can do to help. If I can, what can I do to, you know, as a fan to develop the game?
As a fan, I would say just encourage the younger generation to develop their game with fundamentals. You know, I travel all around and I go to camps and I talk and do things that I never see kids just doing simple things anymore. You know what I'm saying? Instead of, I remember when I first started playing, the first thing I learned how to do was shoot a layup. You know what I'm saying? Or dribble my left and my right hand. But now it's like, nah, let's start at the three-point line. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's no more development. You know, everybody want to be Stephen Curry or, you know, one of the greats. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I would say to grow our game, we got to get back to the development piece. You know, you got to start off with just perfecting your craft, you know, left and right hand, things like that. Just development, man. And then our game is going to get better and better. Everybody think they're good now just because, you know, things they've been watching and things they've been trying, but you know, in order for it to be go further, I think we just got to really get back to perfecting the craft.
Gotcha, absolutely, and that's what if I can find future players, that's the one thing I'm going to tell them: hey, go back to the basics. You know, Taj said so. Basics. We need. If I somehow in the future have a daughter, I will try to coach the team. We're only doing layups. We're only doing we're only doing the tangibles. We're only doing the
a lot of people can't even pass. You know what I'm saying?
Really? That's a big part of the game.
I'm telling you, man, a lot of people it's not something that you spend time on. Like I remember going to Stanford practice. I went to Stanford practice in October. And they spent like 20 minutes working on passing. Like it was the coolest thing I ever seen. And you watch them play and it's like, yeah, they're good, but they're good because the ball is getting to, like, where it really needs to be. And it's getting to the spot in their teammate's hand that they like it or that it needs to be to make the ball go in a basket when they shoot it. But, like, a lot of teams, they're not working on that. You know what I'm saying? They're working on deep threes. They're working on all types of stuff. Like, just the basics is really, really, like, what we need to get back to.
Mm-hmm. I got you. Well, That was, you know, the full extent from like a basketball perspective. Now I really just have, you know, more of open floor. Is there anything else you want to address, or is there anything else you maybe want to tell fans, or how I can, you know, help develop the game more? I really just can't thank you enough for joining me and, you know, giving me your time today. I just, if there's anything else you have, I would love to, you know, share that with our listeners.
I'm trying to think what else was on the agenda for today. I think I seen on there, what other sports I played? I played football. Football was actually my first team sport I played. So everything I know from basketball, I got from football. Like I played safety, so just sitting in the back, you know, evaluating everything around me, being able to see the whole field, you know, it's equivalent to me being able to see the whole court, being able to read plays. everything like that. You know, I also play running back, so not, you know, using your moves, using your in and outs, things like that. It's all basketball. So I love football. It's actually my favorite sport, and I just happen to play basketball. So
being part of the reason we got our ass kicked on that team in at Oakton, were you part at LC Bird? Is that why we got
kicked? Hey, man, I used to go to their practices, and I was really locked in. Yeah.
No, that's
Powder Puff Champ for sure. Hey.
That's awesome. Well, I honestly can't, like I said, I can't thank you enough for coming on. We wish you the best. We will be watching. My goal also is to get a jersey of like most of the players that come on the show. So I gotta get a Connecticut Sun jersey for you. And honestly, also if you got, because I'm in the Washington area, if you ever play, I'm sure you will. Whenever you guys come to town and play the Mystics, I'll definitely have to come catch a game for sure. I can't thank you enough, Tyler, for coming on. If you have any closing remarks, let me know. But if that, I'll go ahead and let you go.
Thank you. I appreciate you. Wishing you luck, man. You know, keep doing your thing. So, you
too. I'll definitely. And you know what? When I come to that game too, I won't trash talk, but I'll definitely come up to see you and say what's up for sure. Absolutely.
Hey, you can trash talk, man.
No, that's bad. Because what happens if it comes bite me in the ass and I have to see you after the game and be like, all right.
Yeah, you're gonna feel crazy.
I was gonna say I would have to Irish goodbye that game early and be like, I can't see her after the game. That's gonna be bad. Well, have a safe flight.
Thank you.
That's tomorrow. Be safe tomorrow. Thank you so much for joining. You have an open spot on the show anytime you want to come back on, and we can't thank you enough for coming on.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Obviously, yep. No problem. Have a good one.
No, I'm just it's a lot different since we last spoke. I think I want to say we spoke in like October, November.
I was gonna say when we first spoke, it was October, November, and then when we did when we all hopped on, it was with me, you, Kayla, and Tay. It was about, I think that was like just after Christmas or right before Christmas in January. Yeah. It's been quite some time, about 6 months, half a year. So
catching up. So really, like, I guess I had been on a couple of podcasts before yours, maybe. But they were, you know, I didn't remember many.
No. Uh-huh.
Since that moment, because of Brittany Griner's thing, I don't know if you've
seen
any.
Been keeping up with that a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, but I'm talking about from my perspective, because it started out that I had written a letter to all of my players about the Ukraine situation. And so I was telling them my philosophy geopolitically. And I was pretty strong anti-Putin position. Mm-hmm. And that I felt that they needed to get out of Russia. This was before this was a popular idea.
Yeah.
That they need to get out of Russia because I felt like we were going to have problems with banking. We're going to have travel issues. I didn't think we were going to have safety issues in Russia. I didn't have anybody in the Ukraine. Mm-hmm. There is a good team that plays from the Ukraine, but I didn't have anybody on that team. Mm-hmm. But that was a letter that was released to ESPN's Michelle Vopel, and somebody gave it to her. And I've done interviews with her for a long time, but only regular. So she said the ESPN people want to talk to you. Anyway, when I got on the live ESPN show, it was at SportsCenter, at 6 p.m. SportsCenter. And then everybody started calling me. So then I was on ABC.
Yeah.
And then I was on CNN and then Patrick McEnroe's podcast. And so I've done more media in the month of March. I did more media than probably in 30 years of doing this.
It's a snowball effect. One letter just changed everything for you.
Because I've been doing the sending players to Russia. So everybody's like, why do they go to Russia? Nobody gets it. Nobody understands it. So I don't know how many interviews I did. The Washington Post, the New York Times, USA Today. Anyway, since you and I last, you know, really spoke, there's been a lot happening in women's basketball. Sure. Mostly because of that.
I was going to say, and let's just keep if you guys don't mind, we can keep it going. I remember, like, during that, you had mentioned, you know, I think I watched the ABC News one. They had a lot of questions about or at least the reporter was asking a lot about, like, you know, I guess what you knew about the situation with Brittany and like what was going on and like how, if you could like kind of, I guess, explain it. But that was one of the things you like brought up with them, right? Was like, hey, I, you know, can talk about like the Ukraine situation and like things like that. But as far as like the deep details of Brittany, you know, situation, because that's a tough situation. You didn't really know. Has that changed either? Has that changed at all? Have you like, you know, talked with anyone else or heard more about that? Or two, like, is, you know, is that kind of, did that kind of all, you know, get talked about when you were on those shows with like CNN and ESPN too? Because I saw the ABC one.
Yeah, the CNN. The interesting thing about the CNN one was everybody wants this narrative of the money's so bad here,
mm-hmm,
that the girls are forced to go play overseas.
Right.
A, it's not so bad here.
Mm-hmm.
And B, nobody's forced to go play overseas.
Right.
From the standpoint of your common person, you know, when someone's making $200,000 in 4 months playing in the summer, nobody's crying for you.
Now, yeah.
You can't compare it to the NBA guys. It just, so anyway, that narrative was out there. And I heard Patrick McEnroe at like 5:30. I was going to be on at 8:30 a.m. And at 5:30 or 6, he was on with John Berman. And he made that comment. Patrick McEnroe, who I really like, and I enjoy podcasts and all this. And he made the comments like, they don't make enough money to make it in the States. And so I called the producer before I went on.
Yeah.
And I said, look, I love McEnroe, but that's just bullshit. Like, that's not true.
Yeah.
The guy picked up the phone, called McEnroe, said, this guy that's coming on is like, you're not speaking the truth, Patrick, like with this stuff. The next day, McEnroe wrote me and he said, hey, I'd love to have you on. I want you to set me straight.
Yeah.
And if you ever listen to that one, that's the best piece of media I ever did. He just listened. Like, he asked good questions and he just, you know, let it go. But the narrative everybody wanted was that, okay, let's make this narrative that the gender equity issue.
And right.
Men make all this money, women don't, they have to go overseas. So here they are getting arrested because they're forced to go overseas. No. Mm-hmm. The thing is, the money on the team Brittany Griner played for is 2, 3, 4 times higher than anywhere else anywhere.
Wow.
It's just an outlier, right? It's an outlier. And I was sending players there 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So into this, the guy that started it all, started the movement, was a guy that is an ex-KGB guy. And his name was Shabtai Kalmanovich. And the guy was assassinated. I knew him well. I even sent him coaches and many players. He was assassinated. If you look it up, you can see a picture of him hanging out of his car bloody in Russia. He was this guy was a team owner, and he was assassinated in, I think, 2012 or
it's not 10. Too long ago.
It's not pretty fresh in the memory. Yeah.
Yeah. And I had 20 players with that guy. So anyway, I've been doing it a long time. So people just realize I know the thing. Now, as far as Brittany's case, I don't know anything.
Right.
I don't. You asked. I'm getting around to answering your question. I was talking to her agent yesterday.
Okay.
She said we're coming out with some new stuff. So that was yesterday, and you saw what happened. They made if you've kept up, they made a big play with the narrative of, if it were LeBron, he'd already be out.
All that, and from her coach from the Suns.
So, you know, and I was like, okay, before I comment on that, when I'm on shows and all, guys, before I comment, is that what you're going for? But, you know, explain it to me. And the idea was, and I can buy into this because I'm not going to get into do I believe that or not. The factual, the point is, it's true. The media coverage of women is 4% what it is of men. That's what they, I don't know if that's true, but that's the stat they say.
Right.
All right. So the media coverage of female basketball players and female athletes, they say it's 4%. They need to say whatever to keep her in front of the State Department.
I see.
In front of Joe Biden. So I'm like, okay, respect. Yes, we all want her out. I'm not going to argue the merits.
Not going to argue to keep her there longer, essentially.
Right. Yeah, I'm not going to argue that maybe LeBron would actually be a bigger pawn and Putin would be trying to get more in a trade. I'm not going to make that argument because that doesn't help the narrative. The narrative is need pressure on the State Department to get her out.
Right. And so, I thought I saw she wrote a letter to Biden, right?
That's what she was referring to. And she didn't tell me what, but that's what came out the letter. And then her wife, Dawn Staley, Al Sharpton, the Phoenix coach, they all came out with the same narrative, you know? So that was, but I don't know specifics.
I just know lots
of players who played with her, who are very close to her. In fact, I represented until this year her ex-wife, Glory Johnson.
Really?
If you guys are younger, but if you had ever kept up with, there was a big thing with Brittany and Glory Johnson after they got married, and you know, drinking, a little gunplay, a gun was waved around. They got a divorce. I didn't represent Glory at the time. And then I picked her up years later, and they have two kids.
Huh.
They have two kids. Twins. So there was always financial issues between Glory and Brittany. So I was always semi-connected to the whole thing via that. Truth be told, I never really got involved at all. I just remember that it was important to me that Glory stayed off of social media.
Yeah.
And just because I was like, I can't, you know, she was a great player, but it just didn't want any of that drama. But anyway, so I've been sending players over there so many years, man, that, you know, all these outlets, and they realize, well, this guy will talk to you. They all wanted to know about Brittany, but I'm like, I'm not talking about that. I mean, for some reason they wanted to keep it quiet. Now everything's out in the open that I was thinking back then.
You're just ahead of the time.
A trailblazer, truly.
I was just being quiet. I was wanting to explain to people, you know, this is why they do it, right? So anyway, that's been, it's been a wild ride recently. And let me see. Go ahead and ask me anything. I got to write this person.
Well, Mike, while we're on the topic of, you know, foreign nations and everything like that, how are negotiations different overseas compared to somewhere domestically, like in the United States?
One second. Let me write this right quick. Sorry.
Yeah, no, no problem.
That's a good question.
This player's wanting to talk to me in the airport, and I'm telling her, give me 30 minutes here, however long we need. How long till?
No, that's fine.
A new player I'm picking up. I can't discuss it yet because
I get it. I was like, if she's not busy, she's welcome to join. But I understand that.
You know what happens is, one second. What happens is some players, fortunately. And I can say this in all honesty, I've not lost a lot of players over the years, but I don't recruit many players. I don't recruit many rookies. I end up with a few rookies just based off word of mouth and reputation, but I really don't make any campus visits. I don't go on my way, but I call myself actively available. So if somebody's, you know, they just don't, you know, somebody's heard of me, or Dawn Staley said a good word, or some WNBA coach said a good word, and they call me and they're like, we'd love to hear from you. Okay, then I get involved. And that's for the rookies. But rookies are difficult. Rookies are, it's a whole, like, it's like you're a professor. and so I'm having to, I don't know, I'm having to give them a basketball 101 for a whole year, and there's also the process of them getting to know you and realizing they can trust you. Rookies are a lot of work, so when I'm gonna do it, when I'm going to take on a rookie, it's not going to be because I spent a lot of resources going after them. It's going to be because they sort of came to me somehow, and I think they have a future. So a lot of times I don't end up with the top five type rookie because of that, the top 10 type rookie. Last year I had number two in the draft, not this year, but the year in 2020, in 2021. And I had number two and number seven and 13 and 14. So that's a good year, but that was just
luck of the draw. Yeah.
Luck of the draw. This year, nobody in the first round. And there's my Turkish partner calling. This particular player right me here has another agent, is disgruntled, unhappy. And I honestly take those players, and it depends a little bit on what I think about the agent, but I'll say, what is your issue? And what are the issues? Right. And then we'll go over, okay, I think you're, you know, I don't like your guy too much, but I don't think you're being fair. I don't know that I'll get you more money than that. I don't know that you should be unhappy about that.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully they say, that doesn't matter. I like the way you sound. I want to change over to you anyway. But right. It's just, I've always done that. I've always maintained that let's stay credible always. Yeah. So, you know, and I do take a few, but not aggressively. It's usually like, you're going to leave that guy anyway. Let me get involved.
Right.
I want veterans. Give me players 2, 3, 4 years into it. That's the perfect player for me. By the way, Kayla and Tay are both, I was their third agent or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's sort of like they go through it. They also, they're not realistic when they come out. I don't know how I got off on this tangent. Anyway,
that was about, keep going, Mike. Keep going.
That was about that player that just wrote me. So.
No. And to what you were saying, you know, I think it's 5 o'clock. That's what I'm talking about. It's what you, like you said, with the 2 or 3 year player. And I think Kayla said this on the podcast, you kind of get over that wave of reality kind of sets in and they have an understanding a little bit better of like what's going on and what's actually important. As like you said, when you first come in the draft as a rookie, you may not have your priorities where they probably should be.
Well, priorities, right. Yeah, and some of that is just immaturity, expectations. Yeah. You know, sure. Everybody, why do I not have a shoe deal? Mm. You know what? There's just not an understanding of the
right.
of the amounts. Even players that aren't even WNBA likely,
right?
You know, have huge expectations. Man, I've done this a long time. That gets pretty old. Mm. You know, I don't mind it if it comes to me and I go, okay, I'll take that project on.
Right.
But to spend a lot of time competing against other people, you know, I'm not old, but I'm too old for that.
No, I get that. Patience is a little bit thin. And to piggyback kind of off, Zach, what you said, Mike, looking through that list, it looks like you've got a fair balance of WNBA and, you know, overseas, you know, and all over overseas. How's that been with, you know, first off, I've seen a lot of new signings, which is great, keeping up with social media. How's it been with current negotiations, you know, with, you know, more like with maybe more players that you may have had with the WNBA? And, you know, you mentioned Kayla, I remember she, you know, spent the beginning of the WNBA season trying to find a team and landing somewhere. Has anything changed over this past year as far as, you know, with the new signings you have and, you know, as maybe, you know, having more players either in the WNBA and split, having just as many overseas?
And you'd have to almost, I mean, every single player on that list has a story.
Okay.
Right? And I would just say that everybody on the list, save maybe three that I won't say their names, are WNBA players or WNBA level players.
Sure.
There's probably 3, 4, 5 that won't ever play in the WNBA, even though they could sit at the end of the bench for somebody.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of players. I got a call today from a girl and her coach and her AAU coach and her high school coach. They were all on the phone. And she was a 20-8 player at a D1 school. And she's a stud in college. But she's a 6'4" who's not a great shooter from the 3-point line.
Mm.
So she's not just a phenomenal, so she's good at everything. Mm-hmm. So often they don't understand that you need to be a little bit of a specialist to play at that level. You need to be pretty good at everything, but really good at a couple things.
Yeah.
Either a phenomenal defender, a phenomenal ball distributor, a phenomenal shooter, mm-hmm. or just maybe you've got great size in your shot blocker.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times they have to work their way into that. And that's usually the process, that the process of patience. But if you ask about any particular name on there, you ask about Kayla. When we were talking, Kayla's done 3 WNBA contracts this year. She signed with Chicago.
Yep. Saw that.
She arrived late to training camp. She made the team, but she was only there 2 games. And they got Rebecca Gardner back. And he had his eye on Rebecca Gardner, and she's been great. And so she's a 31-year-old rookie, and she's cheaper than Kayla. Kayla's at a veteran minimum, and that girl's at a rookie minimum. Yeah. So Kayla got edged out, and then a couple
weeks later. She was in Seattle after that, right?
Right. Seattle needed – it's called a hardship exemption. They have a couple people with COVID. They're out. The league gives them an exemption. So Kayla can go there for 1, 2, 4, 8, 12 days to replace someone who's either sick or injured. Mm. I had Haley Gorecki on the list from Duke. She was replacing Diana Taurasi for full 30 days last year into the same thing. Sometimes that's your way into the league.
Yeah, right.
And Kayla played real well in that set. She went again to Seattle.
Yeah.
So she's had 3 different contracts, really short.
Right.
And then it's just, do you impress enough to get called back, or do you play real well against somebody and they call, you know, it's tough.
No, it's such a small pick.
That girl's the first pick.
I was going to say, Katie was a
first pick. Really good overseas. Yeah. You know? Mm-hmm. So it's hard to get it. It's hard to get in. And it's almost harder to stay in.
Mm-hmm. No, I get that. It's such a, Leonard, we were kind of talking about that a little bit. It's such a tight-knit pool. And like you said, they could probably sit on that bench on their team. But like you said, it comes down to, especially when you're paying those, you know, 2 or 3 players, it's all about, okay, everyone else, who can I get best bang for my buck a little bit? Who can I, you know, when it comes down to it, who's going to be what I need and also not hurt me financially? So I get that.
Well, the cap is so jacked up on almost every team. They don't ask, coaches don't ask, who do you have at this position? They say, who do you have at the rookie minimum at this position? The rookie minimum is $60,431. Mm-hmm. The veteran minimum is $72,170. So that $12,000, is a lot when you get, because you're, when they get it, they're trying to sign 4 players and the super max number is $230,000.
Right.
So the max number is $200,000. So the regular maximum salary is $200,000. The supermax means you're signing back with your same team and you're signing at the maximum allowed period. You can only sign that if you're on your team. So like anybody, Candace Parker, for example, is making the second max. She's not making the super because she signed when she came over from LA.
Yeah.
So it's so tight up there. They're asking them to take less money so they can fit good players in under the cap.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so tight that down at the bottom to fill out your roster, you use, you know, it's 72,000 times 3.
I was just thinking the same thing.
That's 226,000. So, you know, you get that versus 180. It's a big difference. So someone that Kayla's already, she can't make less than 72.
Right. No, exactly. So
She's already screwed almost. Like Chicago could have loved her. Chicago could have loved her, but they didn't have enough money to keep her. So really teams can only afford 7 players, 7 or 8 players above the veteran minimum. And most of those are paid pretty high, which means that you get down to the rookie minimum. I'm really in the weeds on that.
No, I love when you get in the weeds. That's the best part, because then more people learn. But at the same time, I had the same thought process as a GM. That's simple math. I can sign 3 rookies, save, you know, like 50 grand or something, like, or hundreds of thousands, almost $100,000, and, you know, get the same performance as I need. So, and that's the tough part. It's a lot of things got to change there for sure.
I just realized my math was stupid. 72,000.
I just blew those numbers out anyway.
No one was going to correct you, Mike. Don't worry.
I was going to, we all agreed it was a large amount of money.
I said 226 and it's 216. All right.
We host podcasts, not math talks. You're good.
I was going to say, we all agreed it was a large enough amount of money to where it was simple enough to make that decision. But
yes,
I think, you know, and kind of, you know, kind of full circle what we were talking about, it makes sense then why, you know, for example, Kayla, she's like, I make this much, the WA doesn't want me, but there's a team in Turkey that needs me and is going to pay me what I'm worth. Most people won't say no to that. Most people are going to, you know, especially if they're trying to, you know, get noticed. And I know a lot of players play overseas and they make connections with, you know, other players, but it's, again, like what we were talking about in the beginning, why those players are going to play over there, because they're getting the big money. Money talks for sure. But I know last time we spoke, and I know you have a question after this. I know last we spoke, Mike, there was the discussion about, you know, when the WNBA season was going to end, and how it was going to kind of be a little bit problematic. You may have mentioned a little bit when we were talking about a little bit problematic for players and making commitments overseas. How did that all have you seen how that finally has coming, you know, to, has that, how have you seen that come through, and what's that been like? Has it been as big of a problem maybe as we were talking about, or is it still ongoing, or what's the status there?
Yeah, the bigger problem is the end date in Europe, which is April, May, mm-hmm. and the beginning date in the WNBA, because the WNBA is installing what's called prioritization. They're wanting players to decide where you want to be. Right. So they're making it punitive. If you arrive late for the season, you're either suspended for the whole season just for arriving late, or you can't, and that's in 2023. In 2024, you can't arrive for the training camp. Now, if you're not signed on a team and your team that you're on in Europe plays into the WNBA season, you're not allowed to sign a contract in the middle of the summer like Kayla's been doing. That's right. Super punitive. Super pissed off about that. Like, yeah. Now, what happened is I was one of the main ones. And we were starting to really sort of rebel. Breonna Stewart was big talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
And the WNBA is starting the 2023 season about 2 weeks later than this year. So they realized they were going to have a problem. And some players were starting to go, F you.
Yeah.
I'm going to go make my money.
Mm-hmm.
Even big name players. So the WNBA took that and they said, okay, we'll draw a line in the sand, but we're going to make that line a lot more amenable to almost everybody. So if you're not playing in France,
right?
France doesn't care about them. They're like, we're France. We don't care
about thing going.
Yeah, we're better, you know. So France plays into June. So if you play in France, you're probably saying I'm not playing in the W.
Right.
Now players in their first 3 years get an exemption. So a rookie that's playing in France can arrive late and still play. That's problem is she's risking getting cut. Mm-hmm. So she's got to be a stud to play in France and arrive late to make a team.
Yeah.
Every single player on that 60-player list I sent you would have it. We could go over and I could say, here's her situation. In other words, here's what she has to consider.
Yeah.
She's signing a deal, because the player has to go, am I likely to make a team in the WNBA?
Right, right.
Why? How much am I going to prioritize them if I can't even barely make a roster?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you better damn well go make your way in Europe so somebody wants you. You have to go be competitive somewhere, because it didn't work in college.
Be a specialist abroad. Mm-hmm.
Dominate over there. Get some notoriety. Then it can happen. Excuse me.
Right.
So
that makes sense. That makes sense. And so if we want to do, I guess a small one. So for example, Dana Evans, the point guard from Louisville. Right now you have it like she's next to the Chicago Sky. Is she on the Sky right now, or is she actively trying to?
Yeah.
Okay. So she's a rookie though, right? No,
she's a second-year player.
Okay. So is she part of that three-year – is she playing overseas at all? Is she doing anything?
Well, we're negotiating with the Turkish team right now.
Gotcha.
Okay. She has not signed yet, but she's right there.
Okay. And, I mean, that's not France, so you don't have to worry about that. But, okay.
No, even if Dana – here's the problem with Dana. Dana's phenomenal. Her first game against L.A., she had 24 points, explosive, beautiful game. And then we have a – it's not our player, but a point guard from France. She's from Belgium, but she was playing in France. She arrived really late. But the head coach had already wanted her, traded for her, and he believes in her. Dana was one – she was sort of a combo guard. So she hasn't – it's been frustrating because she started out so well, and then her minutes went down and down and down and down. But they're number one in the league.
Yeah.
They're last year's championship. I have a saying, and I always tell players, and they get tired of hearing it. I'm always like, I probably told you this 20 times, but I'm going to say it again. As much as we may disagree with the coach, and we may know he's screwed up and dumb and wrong, if he wins, he's right.
Right. He's
right. And we don't talk about playing time and stuff like that after a win.
Right.
Or when the team's winning.
Right.
You just got to suck it up and go, let me hang in here. Let me, you know, character building. Let me make the most of this.
Trust the process.
And that's tough to tell a player who has a big ego and they have a lot of pride. And you're telling them, I know you're great. Yes, I believe you're better than that other person. But this is the way it is right now.
Right.
So if I go and ask for a trade, I'm going to look stupid.
Right. Exactly.
So let's try not to look stupid.
It's a tough line. It's a tough line for sure. Leonard, did you have anything? Did you have another one question or something? I know you said you had a couple.
Yeah. I think, you know, while we're on the subject of talking about like, this is disappointing to see bad news. Mike, how do you deliver bad news to one of your agents? You know, I assume you deliver great news like contract extensions, landing at a specific team they want in mind, but how do you deliver, you know, that bad news? Is an approach that works best?
To my agent, my partners, or to the players?
You mean your clients?
To the clients, yes. I apologize.
How do I deliver bad news? You know what? I would say that is case by case. I've had to be the one to tell players their father was killed in a car accident. You know, that's bad news.
That's tough.
You're not talking about that news.
No, you know, no.
You're talking about you're getting cut.
Right.
But at the same time, that's still news.
They don't like you. They're trying to cut you. I would say if I have one thing that I'm good at, and maybe I'm good at other things, but I know I'm a good communicator. You know, I know I'm a good communicator with everybody, and I've been through a lot. I've been through a lot. So I understand hearing bad news, right? But that's a case-by-case thing, Zachary. I mean, if somebody's getting cut, usually there's a buildup to it. We see it coming.
Right.
We've been talking about it. You know, it's sort of like the oncologist who knows you have this severe liver cancer, and you ain't going to make it 6 months, but he doesn't walk in the room and say, you're dying in 6 months. He says, hey, we're going to try this and we're going to try that.
Yeah.
We're going to get around. So you get good at that. You know, you see the writing on the wall. She's getting cut. Let's start setting her up for it.
That makes sense.
I mean, I could definitely understand that. You know, you don't necessarily just jump in and say, you know, catching someone off guard.
Sometimes if I know it's coming, maybe I have something already ready on the table.
Yeah.
To get to her. Got some good news and bad news.
Right. There you go.
Bad news is they don't want you. The good news is this other team wants you.
And sorry, the idea of an oncologist just coming in saying you're cut just also just makes me laugh a little bit. But just coming in being like, you're cut. that's crazy. One of the questions I had, are there any, you kind of mentioned, are there any new teams to your list? Are there any teams you're doing first time negotiations, or any teams that you're doing like this is the first time you guys are negotiating? Or maybe in that same question, any new teams that you're like, ooh, sweet, this is, we wanted to be part of this program or something like that?
Are you talking about WNBA?
Both. Let's say WNBA and overseas. Both.
No. WNBA, I mean, there are times when I have three players on every team in the past.
Wow.
You know, now I have a player on almost every team. It's just in recent years, I don't have a player on every single team.
Gotcha.
But I've been around so long. I mean, everybody, I know everybody really well.
Right.
You know, there's some new people that come into the league that I get to know, but usually, some of the people I even represent that run the teams, or I've helped them with their contract for a case of wine or something. Huh. Like, I don't even charge them. You know what I'm saying? It's just because they're like, okay, what should I be looking for? So those kind of relationships. So the WBA, it's long time relationships.
Right.
Some of them aren't great.
Mm.
That's more of the issue. But usually the way my personality is I'm not antagonistic. I try to be understanding and equitable. I try to not always be, the player's always right, you're always wrong.
Right.
That's pretty helpful to make it this long. Mm-hmm. To be able to the teams know the guy's not going to be such a pain in the butt that every single thing the player does, he's screaming about that. You know, you don't play the player, he's screaming about it. Man, almost everything rolls off my back. You know, the players, I have to calm them down. I'm not going to go run like my hair's on fire every time they're upset, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's good for them, too.
Right, no, exactly. It kind of teaches them a little bit how to, like, handle situations and character develop, like you said. I was going to ask, too, just because I'm so curious, kind of pivoting, like you said, how's our friend Luis doing? How's I think last time we talked, he was the CEO of Palca Centro. I can't pronounce the last part, but it's
Palca Centro Barrese.
I'm Italian, and I should be able to do that. That's my fault. But how's he doing? How's CEO going? How's all that going?
The guy is unbelievable. He didn't even wait around to field GM offers in the NBA.
Yeah.
And GM offers and assistant GM offers. The guy is a superstar intellect. Mm-hmm. He speaks five languages. He's got all the credibility in the world. And he just went and he said, I'm going to take this Italian team that's struggling that he played for. He was the best player on the team. He would still be the best player on the team if he took his suit off. But he's 42. And I was helping him with some American players for a while. And I was sort of like, you know, man, I'll do anything for him. But the way that goes is I have to be locked in and working for him to have the credibility. It can't be just like, oh, Luis Scola asked me to call you. You know, I got
a
position, and I'm not, and I don't want that because I'm doing something else.
No, I get that.
Of course, I'll do anything for him. But he's part owner.
Okay.
He's got some stake, and the president and the GM. Like he's the man. He brought in a big. If you looked it up, it would pop right up. But it's an Australian investor, and a guy, and he was interviewed recently, but I think Louise brought him in, and so you know they're making good moves. He's smart. We don't talk as much, but sometimes he's like, Mike, how's the family? And you know that, but I don't, you know, we don't have a lot of communication. He's busy. I'm busy. Right. So,
I was going to say, I just Googled it just cause I was curious. I see here that they're interested in, they were talking to Perugione for head coach.
Perugione. Yeah. Yeah, I don't. I wasn't called about it.
Oh, in sure.
In theory, we represent Pablo.
Right.
My partner in Dallas, George Bass, does, and I still am part of that. But But they are buddies, so they wouldn't call me about it. They wouldn't call it. Yeah, they would just go, maybe Pablo would say, hey, I'm going to do a contract. Will you guys do the contract? I don't know. But those aren't ones that we get our feathers ruffled about.
Sure.
You know, friends for 40 years that play together all the years, they do something together. Hey, whatever. Right. I mean, but yeah, no, I don't, my understanding is Pablo's pretty goal directed on the NBA, on moving up the, but he and I haven't spoken in a while either.
I was going to say, where is he still at right now? I know he's on the, was he with the Timberwolves?
Minnesota.
Yeah. I was going to say that. Yeah. Okay. And
now, they have changed staffs this summer and I'm not up to speed on, you know, like I say, I'm a part
they
of
got
it,
Gobert.
But I'm out of it. George they does all Gobert. That. So.
Yeah. They signed Gobert and I know what's it. Cat. I think signed a
pretty That's
good,
crazy. Pretty huh?
Contract. I can't believe he left Utah.
Was there like 5 first round picks?
Yeah. Oh no, they paid for him. They traded for him, but it's crazy because it's like you have. I mean, Anthony Edwards at the top, but you're gonna have Rudy Gobert and Karl Anthony Towns, and now Karl Anthony Towns is like, sweet, I don't have to play center anymore. I can play power forward. Someone else can play the big man for me. Switching back on the topic. Is there? I guess you may have answered this for me in the past. And Leonard, I feel like you would be intrigued by this too. Is there a perk or like a when you go to present to teams, is there a specific reason, you know, breaking down like, you know, okay, here's like my combo guards or here's, is there a specific way, you know, why breaking it down that way is, you know, better to present to, you know, teams or, you know, to say, hey, here's who I have or, you know, maybe why do you break it down the way you do, I guess, is my question.
Oh, that list right there that I sent you is for my partners.
Okay.
Because I have a partner in Korea, 2 in China, 1 in France, Belgium, 1 in Spain, Italy, Israel.
All over.
Turkey, Italy. Okay, so I've got 10 partners. And they're all competing for this player list.
Okay.
So every week or so, I send out and I show who's been signed. Now, I usually used to have like pending or negotiating in some color ink so that if they were close to something and they hadn't told me, they better say something.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, you know, Dana Evans may end up in Turkey.
If
you want her in Israel, you better come with an offer because we're not going to lose the deal in Turkey while we're waiting on you.
No, right, so exactly.
That list for my partners, and then they take it. And generally the way they disseminate it is they should, if they're doing it right, have relationships with every team, know what the team's looking for, know the approximate budget, and then come to me and say, hey, Mike, Haifa in Israel, Ronnie Lupu, my partner in Israel, they need a point guard, and they need this, and they got a total budget of this. Sometimes I get to take a full budget and go, okay, here's a combo I can give you. I got 20 grand a month. This girl needs 10. This girl needs 6. This girl needs 4. There's 20. Okay. And, you know, then they might go, well, we don't like the girl you have for 6. So how can we move that around?
How can we pivot?
Then I have to go talk to the players and see if they'd actually take what I think they'd take.
Sure.
You know, I know a lot of agents, to me, they're lazy. And this is why sometimes they lose players is because they send out lists with the price. I don't send lists with prices.
Right.
Never. Kind of,
yeah.
I want to know what you have, and then I'll give you some names.
Yeah.
I'll give you some names that might fit into this, but let's give me a range.
Right.
Of what you could do in this. Okay. So your high range is her low range. Let's see if we can make that match up. Pretty simple, but it's also work. Because it's a lot of conversations and it's a lot of detail and it's a lot, you know, so you're talking to the player 8 times and the team 8 times to try to come to, you know, we can't make it work.
Right.
You know, So that's always happening.
And speaking of players too, you know, on a recent podcast called A Bird's Eye View, you were nicknamed Uncle Mike from former players. How does that really make you feel to have a nickname like that?
Oh, great. Mm-hmm. You know, when you have this much white in your beard, man, you can't complain. But that's a term of endearment. And, you know, that's probably, you're probably talking about Erica McCall and Sydney Weiss. And Erica and her sister, Dewana Bonner, her half-sister, Dewana Bonner, of course, because I'm sort of in the family, they begin calling me that. The Elderbrink twins from Sweden, I've had them for 16 years. They were calling me Uncle Mike. So it starts to spread a little bit. But to me, if you're calling me that, you're viewing me as family, even if it's not blood family, which means there's trust there.
Right.
And I don't really think I have anybody who, well, unless they're pretty new, that doesn't really know I'm looking out for them. And it's not, of course I need to make compensation, but for me, if I do a good job in years 1, 2, 3, that will bring the compensation later.
Right.
Right. So I'm not the idea that you're just going to go try to always think about the buck first. And like I always tell them, keep in mind, sometimes these girls starting out, non-WNBA players, and I tell them, look, I'm not complaining, but I want you to know the commission on this deal is a McDonald's Happy Meal. So I'm not doing this for money.
Right.
I wouldn't be recommending this for money if I didn't think we would be getting somewhere.
Right.
Right. So it's sometimes you've got that, and especially these days, times are tough. Things are tight. Things are tight for all of us.
Yeah.
You know? So yeah. Uncle Mike's just fine with me, you know. but I prefer that you've been with me a little while so it actually sounds sincere. You
know? Yeah. No,
now if they start calling me Grandpa Mike, that might be an issue.
Draw the line somewhere. Yeah.
You gotta draw. You gotta draw a line.
We're gonna have to have you on a few more times, Mike, so we can start saying, hey, Uncle Mike's gonna be joining us back on the podcast here. We're gonna have to make sure you can come. I was going to say, we're at 3. I need 2. I got to book 2 more, so this way we can just start doing Uncle Mike's coming back.
All right. All right.
But what's, you know, and I know I definitely don't want to take up too much more of your time, but as we wrap up here, a couple more questions. You know, what's, do you have anything, you know, what's on the plate next for the Calgary Gold? Do you have anything, you know, that you guys are trying to do, or are there anything, you know, new and coming up, maybe new signings or new, you know, new negotiations you're working on?
I feel like I'm in a perpetual, because there's different stages to this business, and there's always some phase. Almost every month of the calendar year, there's some phase you're in, you know. And in theory, the summer should be a little less work once you get everybody placed. And you see on the list, almost everybody's placed.
Yeah.
But still, then you're working on work visas, flights, you know, all that kind of stuff. In the past, this is a big debility of mine. I've had in the past, you know, 4 full-time administrative assistants. I've had partners that I gave pretty much 50% commission, 50% earning, you know. And I find that I don't delegate well. So I'm perpetually overworked, and it's my own fault, because I spend more time explaining to someone how I'd like it done than it takes for me to just do it. So I'm in a constant steal. Now, thank God I love this. I love the communication, right? Because it's constant. It's not, I'm never off. I'm never exactly on, but I'm really never off work. So, you know, that wears on you.
Sure.
So I'm wanting to get to a place where, and we're, you know, if the market would just come back about 40%, then I'm to a place where I can say, okay, I can hire another full-time person to do X and take that off my plate, spend time on the boat, right? Like
Yeah.
No point having the boat these days. There's no time to get on it.
Right.
So, anyway, that mm-hmm. me, I'm looking for a little more balance.
Sure.
And so that's, but nothing big, you know, mm-hmm. just sort of maintaining the philosophy, seeing if the economies overseas sort of bounce back and we go from there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, stuff comes out of nowhere.
Right.
Stuff comes out of nowhere that changes your whole business.
You just got to be ready for it.
Yeah. And the next time we talk, I might have some big news. I don't know.
Hey, we're here.
Fingers crossed for that, Mike. Fingers crossed.
Leonard, you got, I do have one more question, but Leonard, before I ask, you got anything for Mike?
Take us home, Joe. Take us home.
I honestly wasn't expecting you to turn it back to me that quickly. I thought you were honestly, you had a question. well, now I'm kind of blanking. This is bad. This is bad for everyone. I guess my last question. Oh, yes. How could I? Here it is. Got it. You always leave us with a gem. You always, you know, we last talked about, you know, what was going on. Is there anything else, you know, currently going on in the sport in women's basketball we should be made aware of, or something we should keep our eyes on that we can either A, bring more light to, or, you know, start the discussion? Is there something else you're ahead of the curve on?
Well, no, but I mean, just some little fairly minor thing. If you haven't watched the ESPN special on Diamond to Shields.
Okay. No, I haven't yet. I need to.
Go watch that immediately. And please.
Going to.
Please go vote for her on the ESPN comeback for the ESPYs. ESPN okay. comeback player of the year. Her story, you won't believe it.
What was the name of that documentary? One more time.
I was going to say, write it down.
Yeah, just put, I don't know the.
I was going to say 30 for 30. I have Diamond, so we're good. 30 for 30.
Yeah, it's 30 for 30. It'll be Diamond to Shields. Diamond to Shields, and you'll see it. It's a wonderful, you guys will love it.
Okay.
And, yeah, I was right in the middle of all that in Italy when it happened. And to see that, you know, when she came out of surgery, she could not walk. And we didn't know if she would ever run again. And she's back full blast. So I don't know how she loses that, to be honest. Yeah. But, yeah, if anything, if that's one little thing, you know, she's on Brittany Griner's team. So
yeah.
So anyway, that's one little item.
Is she an all-star?
She was in 2019, and she's the most spectacular athletic. She does things nobody else can do physically. She's like I tell you what, I'd call her the Vince Carter of women's basketball.
Okay.
High praise.
Not because she dunks like that, because athletically, that's how she
right.
she's. So fast, so you'll that's see. You just watch highlights of Diamond to Shields, and you'll be like, "How did I not know who this is?"
Right. It's almost I'm doing a disservice. And I was gonna say, Diamond's been pretty well. I'm looking at her stat lines for the past month. Put up some numbers.
Diamond was probably headed to be before this. She had a tumor in her spine. Before the tumor in her spine, that's what it's about. Before that, she was headed to being one of the top five players in the world.
Wow.
And so she's coming, she's trying to come back
and
get that consistency back, but you'll still see flashes of that, of her athletic brilliance. You won't believe some of the stuff she does.
I was going to say 16-10, 21-9, I'm saying 21-8, 21-8 and like 21-8-3, 16-4.
But watch the way she does it.
I was going to say, we're going to get Diamond on here too. I'd love to talk to Diamond as well. Especially maybe towards the end of the season.
It'd have to be story. In the off season.
She's really
pretty. But that, I just saw on Twitter yesterday a campaign from some other players to get her the comeback player of the year. So
we're gonna
work
when I post the episode tomorrow. And this is the first time, really, I think on the podcast I can say this because it'll be there. When I post this tomorrow, we're definitely going to make sure in there it'll put a little note also, everyone go vote for Diamond. A little bias here from the podcast.
Yeah,
but,
excellent.
A big time. But with that, Mike, I can't thank you enough for joining us. I know you've got some big business to take care of. So I
– Make Leonard, another –
But last thing, you got
– Make Mike, another Polish sausage. Maybe.
Oh, maybe. If we got time.
Wash it down.
I was gonna say, get yourself another one for sure. But with that, I'll let you guys go. Again, I can't thank you everyone for your time. And with that, we'll.
I think I locked up on the screen.
Oh no!
Can you hear me?
Yeah, no, you're good. You're good.
I'm looking at something in the air. I don't know what.
All right. Alrighty. Well, thanks everyone. Hope you had one. Zach, Mike, hope you have a great rest of the time, and we'll go on to the outro from here. Thanks everyone.
All right. Take care.
We'll see you.